Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha Lakes, Brock. On today's show, we're talking about Bill C-69, the No More Pipelines Bill, deemed largely unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Also talk about the shutdown of the ArriveCan investigation at committee, and of course, the war in the Middle East. This and much, much more. We're bringing on the two legends. We have Glenn Motz, Medicine Hat Carson Warner. He's the Member of Parliament for that riding. And, of course, the one and only Larry Brock, Brantford Brant. Thank you, gentlemen. And, of course, don't forget to remind our audience to like, comment, subscribe, and share this program. All right, we've got lots to talk about. Let's get right to it. What do you want to talk about first? C-69, the No More Pipelines Bill?
Sure.
Deemed largely unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, something we actually warned about many years ago.
Absolutely. You know, it was a vindication for many people in the industry and conservative members of parliament who spoke out and said this is unconstitutional. It's provincial territory, provincial jurisdiction. And the province, said very, very clearly, and the courts then agreed, the Alberta Court of Appeal and then the Supreme Court, that the feds overreached. Again, you know, they tried to strong arm their way into something that rather than, you know, having a conversation, having consultation on the matter, they pushed their way in. And, you know, it's cost Alberta and other economies in our country, provincial economies, billions and billions of dollars in lost investment. So it was a great vindication for that, and I think optimistic moving forward. And again, I don't trust this government, though, with what they might do with the decision and how they might want to change things again moving forward down the line. But we're not going to give them an opportunity to do that. We're going to remove them from government first.
When the government first brought in Bill C-69, they said it would bring certainty to the investment around oil and natural gas. It's done anything but that. It's actually chased away hundreds of billions of dollars worth of investment, not including using their tanker ban that forbids Alberta Energy from leaving the West Coast. Not the East Coast, they're bringing in from the East Coast, only leaving from the West Coast. So basically stifling the industry as a whole. And now the Supreme Court weighs in and says, yeah, you've overstepped your jurisdiction.
You're right, you know, and the only certainty that this government guaranteed is that we would lose investment. That's the only certainty that was going to come with this. And, I applaud the decision. There's a lot to go through in that decision. I haven't gone through all of it yet. But, I think the provinces should be pleased, and I think the government should be given pause there's a lot of other things they're trying to insert themselves in that are provincial jurisdiction, and I think this should give them pause on pursuing down a path that is unconstitutional.
Now, it's easy for us to talk about it after the fact and remind liberals and others in the media that we were talking about this way before this even passed royal assent. And we reminded about what would happen and the consequences of this piece of legislation. But at the real core of it, there's a lot of people who lost their jobs, their livelihoods, and their homes because of this legislation.
Absolutely. And, you know, our conservative critic, MP Shannon Stubbs, has spoken about this at length for several years now, and has warned a government initially, and then spoken about the impact this has had not just on the provincial economy, but you know, people's livelihoods and their ability to care for their families, and the businesses were lost, investment fled the provinces, and now we have to try and get that back again and get Canada's economy working again, all because a government has an ideology that is against any sort of natural resource development.
Anti-energy.
Well, let's bring Larry into that. We talked about the many times about the leaked memo where energy workers, as they get transitioned out of their chosen field, they can work as janitors if they so choose, right? Like, this is how the Liberals view the energy industry, in particular in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And that shows exactly where their mindset is, right? If it's not the chosen path that the Liberals want, they will destroy it.
Yes. And in my view, it is that Supreme Court of Canada decision is an absolute repudiation of Justin Trudeau's anti-energy policies that has existed literally since he was elected in 2015. And quite frankly, this piece of legislation was introduced very early into his mandate, and it was almost as if he wanted to transition this country to be anti-Stephen Harper. Anything that Stephen Harper did that benefited this country, Justin Trudeau wanted to undo it. And this particular piece of legislation is a classic example. So it's a repudiation of that philosophy, of that policy, and it confirms what we were saying all along in the House. It confirms what the provinces were saying, that this is our exclusive jurisdiction. You feds have no business interfering.
And you have all these people who have lost their livelihoods, as we just mentioned, but also going forward, what kind of confidence does this put in the marketplace around investors that are looking for a spot to put their money to develop resources, whether it be oil, natural gas, you name it, whatever, critical minerals? It doesn't really still instill any confidence that there will be a return on investment in a timely fashion.
No, that confidence, in my view, will only be restored once we defeat this Liberal, incompetent government and put in Pierre Poilievre as our prime minister.
Agreed.
Our favorite MP to pick on, and rightfully so, Mark Garrettson of Kingston and the Islands, put up a bit of a rant over the weekend about how energy prices and the reason why they're so high isn't the fault of the Liberals. And he did mention about the conflict in the Middle East and in Ukraine and a whole bunch of other disruptions around the world. But what he failed to realize is how the Liberals have decimated our energy industry. And one way to lower prices is to add supply to the marketplace, which has been disrupted because of ongoing conflicts. We have lots of supply here. We just have no way to get it out of the ground and get it to market in a
Correct.
Timely and affordable fashion.
Exactly. Correct.
I guess I hit the nail on the head.
Well,
right
you
there.
Did.
All
you
right.
Did.
Yeah. That's sad because we have high-paying jobs. These aren't low-paying jobs in the energy industry. These are high-paying jobs. And it's the same problem, too, that you can't get critical minerals out of the ground here, particularly in Northern Ontario and elsewhere, Saskatchewan and what have you, where if the Liberals are saying, we are going to EVs, and again, this is the chosen path, never mind the solid-state battery for Toyota, hydrogen, and others over in Germany. This is where the chosen subsidies are going, but we can't get the minerals out of the ground here in Canada to make a supply chain that works domestically.
The regulatory process for natural resource development, research and development, has been so stymied by this government, and that's exactly the result of it, is we have supply issues. And not what we have in the ground, but to get it to market. And then, you know, as we know from, the Prime Minister kiboshing both the Germany request and the Japan request for our natural gas. Like, what a game changer that would have been, right? So, it's the regulatory process has been, the industry's undoing with this government's ideology.
Absolutely. And again, when you're trying to have a domestic energy industry, stifling it or making it harder to get projects through will only create wealth elsewhere. Let's create it here if this is the
exactly
path going down. All right, so the ArriveCan app. Larry Brock, famously in committee, was giving a few hard questions to the powers that be, and they didn't like it. And after 20 minutes of an emergency committee meeting, you were shut down. So what was going on in that ArriveCan meeting?
It just, it amazes me the number of scandals this corrupt government has been embroiled in since 2015. And I uncovered, along with my conservative colleagues, yet another one last Thursday. Let's remember what happened. About a year ago, the Conservative Party brought forth a motion in the House calling for the Auditor General to do a review of the $54 million boondoggle of the Arrive Scam app, as we now call it. Not the Arrive Can, but the Arrive Scam app. It passed the House. Liberals, of course, voted against it because they don't believe in transparency and accountability. So I was asked last Thursday to attend the Public Accounts Committee to participate in a Q&A with our Auditor General. The Auditor General, of course, is about to release her report into the circumstances behind the awarding of that contract. But as a result of recent news releases regarding the RCMP now investigating circumstances behind the granting of the contract and the consultants used by the Government of Canada to facilitate these contracts, it caused our chair, John Williamson, our Conservative chair, to call an emergency meeting. It was agreed by the House, by the members of the committee. It was a two-hour meeting. So I was not part of the first round. I was part of the second round. I had a five-minute Q&A with the Auditor General, and she surprised all of us by informing the House that, to her amazement, she didn't know that the RCMP was investigating criminality with respect to the awarding of the contracts. She didn't hear it until she read it in the Globe and Mail. And I thought to myself, the government certainly knew about this several weeks, if not months, before the news broke in the press. Why wouldn't the government notify its own Auditor General that there's an additional layer that perhaps needs to be explored regarding the RCMP looking at criminal charges? She wasn't aware. She described her disenchantment, the fact that she wasn't pleased that she didn't hear it from the government. And I said to her, I said to the Auditor General, not only are you disappointed, I said all parliamentarians should be disappointed, but more importantly, Canadian taxpayers should be profoundly disappointed that this government, who has vowed to be transparent and accountable at every turn since 2015, has done nothing but. And literally after I finished my 5 minutes of questioning, the next question went to the Liberal bench, and the Liberals brought a motion supported by the NDP to shut down the Auditor General's two-hour meeting without any further accountability. So it obviously begs the question, what are you hiding now?
But what I can see the advantage for the Liberal Party for shutting down the meeting. What about the NDP? What is their logic? What's their strategy here?
Their strategy is they blindly follow the government when it comes to...
Well, don't they want to win? Or try to win?
They have lost their identity, Jamie. With all due respect, they have completely lost...
Well, you're not going to offend me.
They've lost their principles. They've lost their values. They will roar loudly in the House if they feel the government is underperforming and not meeting to Canadians' expectations, and then they'll blindly vote in favor of this government. So I have no doubt in my mind that somehow the lone NDP member on that committee was instructed to go along with that particular vote.
Do you want
to
name and shame? Should we name and shame?
We could name and shame. I'm just trying to remember the member now. May come to me.
All right. Two in the morning, it'll come to you.
It may come to me.
All right. So this is an app that some independent designers put their heads together on a weekend and said they could do it for $250,000,
right,
give or take. The Liberals said $54 million. That seems like a bargain to me. What? Is there any responsibility for these tax dollars? Since government has nothing until it's taxed from somebody.
Exactly.
So taken from somebody who put in a hard day's work, and then, $54 million sounds like a good deal.
You know, and thank you for your efforts on that committee, Larry. It really brought a lot of things home for me. You know, we all lived through the pandemic, and the governments, they had all this money. You know, they had the will of Parliament to spend, and what did they do? They spent indiscriminately. They spent on a lot of things that we agreed as Conservatives that were necessary to keep businesses and individuals, financially sound. But the Arrive scam app is certainly an example of the wastefulness. And there's, we can go through literally billions of dollars, and the Auditor General said before that there is how many billions of dollars unaccounted for in COVID spending?
Yes.
40%. 40% of what? $200 billion?
$200 billion.
Yeah. And we don't even know where it went. So I mean, to me, the Rife scam app is but just a tip of the iceberg when it comes to mismanagement of this government's finances, the Canadian taxpayers' finances.
So not only is it a scandal, Jamie, in my view, it also exposes the hypocrisy of this prime minister. If you remember, after it was discovered that this price tag was $54 million, he expressed his shock. He expressed his concern. In fact, his exact words, that price tag was highly illogical, is the phrase that he used in the House. Yet it's illogical enough for him to say that it should be investigated. But when the RCMP is now looking at criminality involving top senior bureaucrats with the Government of Canada, that's something that the taxpayers should not be exposed to. So there is a scandal here. I will continue to dig. I'm like a dog with a bone. I will continue to pursue this until we can shed all of that light on this particular issue.
Now, credit to the Liberals, though. Have you been to the airport lately? So the Nexus line is super small, like in terms of how many terminals. The regular line for when you're coming through to check in on an international flight is a little bit bigger, but it's still pretty small. And then in the right-hand side, it is massive, but it's empty. Nobody is using this app, but they are almost doing it on purpose to force people to try, just like, somebody please use the app and we have all these machines for you to check yourself through.
Exactly.
This is how desperate they are.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. All right, Middle East. Israel attacked, last week. Hamas coming in, surprising many, massacring and murdering people at a music festival for peace. What are your thoughts, I guess, to the victims? We need to recognize that, and where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
Oh, you know, it's sad when you have, a legitimately identified terrorist organization attack civilians in a sovereign state, and then the extreme sadistic violence that has occurred as a result of this, and this whole anti-Semitism, this whole the attack on the Jewish state is brutal, and now we care about all victims on both sides of this, the civilians on both sides of this conflict, and certainly our support is with the Israel and it's a conflict that has gone on off and on for decades, and certainly this does not appear to be ending anytime, or will end anytime soon, and it's just a sad state of evil. I mean, there's no other. I had talked to someone this past weekend about this, the terrorist attack, and the word that they used was this was pure evil. When you look at the acts, when you see and read about the atrocities that were perpetrated on innocent Jewish civilians, is unfathomable, and it is something that this world should not tolerate.
I will do a deeper dive on this topic on another show, but I did want to recognize it and mention it because it is an ongoing issue, and we talk about current events here, and it would be remiss, I think, if we didn't mention it. And again, we'll do a deeper dive on another show where we can have more time. I know we're coming to the end of our show here. Question period's coming up, so we have to get going. Final thoughts, gentlemen. Who wants to take it away?
I just want to comment on the Middle East situation.
Sure.
My thoughts and prayers are with all the victims, the victims' families, the Canadians who've lost their lives, Americans who've lost their lives, up to 200, if not more, hostages still in Gaza. This is something that has just rocked our collective core as human beings. And I just wanted to pass that on as my final thoughts. Thank you, Jamie.
Fine.
I think that the last thing I'll say is, we heard last week about the government's retraction. They're holding off on their firearm confiscation, and I think it's just what we've been saying all along is it's a failed plan on public safety. It isn't going to work. We don't support, as conservatives, we do not support the confiscation of lawfully obtained firearms by legal firearm owners, The billions of dollars that were planned to be spent on a confiscation plan that the Liberals themselves don't even know how they're going to play out could be better spent, matters of border enforcement and other programs to ensure that criminals are dealt with appropriately.
You know what? That's another show as well. We can talk about the firearm boondoggle, and we will say that for another show because that's a great idea. All right, I apologize for not getting to that. Time goes so quickly with
certainly
you.
Certainly does.
That's what happens when you have the legends.
And the pontification by my colleague here, Mr. Brock, is amazing. I always enjoy hearing it. So.
Yes, I am in extreme awe at both of your conversations. All right, we have Glenn Motz, Medicine Hat, Karsten Warner is his riding in beautiful province of Alberta. Also, Larry Brock, the Member of Parliament for Brantford-Brant. We thank them both for their time. We thank you for yours as well. Don't forget new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please tell your friends. They can download it and listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Don't forget, please comment, like, subscribe, and share this program. If you want Pierre Poilievre to be the next prime minister, we need to get shows like this out there so you hear that different perspective that you're not getting from the mainstream media. Until next week, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the Blueprint.